You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Welcome to your Canadiens Connection on Rocket Sports Radio. This premier hockey podcast featured at CanadiansConnection.fm brings you the latest news, in-depth analysis, and expert commentary about the NHL's most storied franchise, the Montreal Canadiens. Hosted by Rick Stevens and Amy Johnson. Our team of credentialed journalists provides behind-the-scenes insight on the Canadiens, designed to inform, entertain, and engage Habs fans around the globe. We are proud to be the trusted source for all things Habs for more than a decade. This is the Canadiens Connection Podcast. Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the Canadiens Connection podcast right here on Rocket Sports Radio. Each and every week, we're coming at you with Montreal Canadiens talk, which keeps you informed, engaged, and entertained all about the Habs, your favorite hockey team. My name is Amy Johnson. I'm going to be your host for today's show. This would be episode 391 of Canadiens Connection. This week's show titled, A New Era for Montreal Canadiens Goaltending. That is very exciting, let me tell you that. We'll get to that more in a minute, but first I'm pleased to be joined in the studio by my co-host, who is our founder and president here at Rocket Sports. His name is Rick Stevens. Boy, what a difference a week makes.
Well, I get excited every time we talk about goaltending. I get excited about talking about the Montreal Canadiens, but particularly goaltending, and we've got lots of goaltending news to talk about. And I had a discussion with my brother this week. The Minnesota Vikings, I know, why are you talking about the Minnesota Vikings? You're the only one who listens to this podcast and who does this podcast, who is a fan of the Montreal, of the Minnesota Vikings.
Well, I'm probably the only Philadelphia Eagles fan, so it's fair.
Well, I found out that Elliot Friedman is also a big Vikings fan, but this week the Vikings got a quarterback, Kyler Murray. Yeah. And Justin Jefferson's got to be pretty excited about it. And there was a graphic that was circulated amongst long-suffering Vikings fans that was Justin Jefferson's QB carousel.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. That's elite talent like Justin Jefferson. And his quarterbacks have been Kirk Cousins, Sean Mannion, Nick Mullins, Joshua Dobbs, Jaren Hall, Sam Darnold, Carson Wentz, Max Brosmer, J.J. McCarthy, and now Kyler Murray. And my brother said, very astutely, bringing it back to the Montreal Canadiens. Sad, a sad list, and talent wasted, just like Carey Price. And the group that he had to play with. Comment on that if you wish.
Yeah.
And it also brings it back to goaltending, that's where we'll be at today.
Speaking of Carey Price, I see the NHL or someone had screenshot, there was an NHL post of a photo of Fowler's game-saving save from the other night that Carey Price was one of the first ones to like. So he's watching. Let me tell you what it is you can expect on today's show, aside from a rundown of the Minnesota Vikings quarterbacks that Justin Jefferson has received footballs from. We are going to, in our first segment, bring you our week in review. We're going to recap the games that the Canadiens played this past week. Rick's got a fresh batch of three stars for the week that he's determined and nominated. We're going to get you some roster news. There's a lot of roster news, actually, and take a look at what the lines are looking like for the Montreal Canadiens. We have got a prospect report where we're going to get you caught up on some prospect news, the Laval Rocket, so on and so forth. And to round out this first segment, we'll bring you some hockey notes from around the league. That all sets up our second segment, which is our big topic segment this week. The big topic is Dobesh, Fowler, and the Canadiens' new reality in net. We are going to take a big look at the moves that were made this week. Jacob Fowler being recalled from the Laval Rocket, a sensational game played by him, and also examine where that leaves Sam Montembeau and where the Canadiens go from here, how they got here. And as we enter this, as the title so aptly says, this new era for Montreal Canadiens goaltending. And then finally, in our third segment, not only will we have our Canadiens Connection question of the week, which is our fan question that we put out every week to ask all of you because we want to hear from you. But we also have some great responses to last week's question of the week that we want to share with you. That's what we do every week. That's the easiest way for us to make this an interactive show because we love to hear from you. And occasionally we do get texts and mentions and comments just offering opinions or asking questions and whatnot. But it's very popular for all of our listeners and viewers to respond to a question of the week that we put out to all of you. And then we take the best answers that we receive each week and we read them on the following week's show, not only to give you props for submitting some great responses, but also to give you an opportunity to respond to each other if you'd like. And we've had plenty of people take advantage of that as well. So the way to reach out to us, if you'd like to, the easiest way to do that, hit us up on our Rocket Sports text line. That's 5853-ROCKET. Again, 5853-ROCKET. There's other ways to reach out to us as well. We'll be sure to list all of those for you later in the show when we bring you the question of the week. First, though, let's get this week in review underway. Going all the way back to a week ago when Montreal was wrapping up their California road trip with a visit to the LA Kings. Despite LA's best effort, Montreal did come out on top in this one. They squeaked out a 4-3 victory.
Well, when Carey Price was backstopping the Montreal Canadiens, we regularly talked about the goaltender stealing the game, stealing the win. Hasn't happened as often this season, but clearly, this was yet the Jakub Dobis show. The Canadiens had no business winning this game. It was all because of Jakub Dobis. Yes, Juraj Slafkovský had two goals and an assist. Yes, they scored twice in the third, and Nick Suzuki got the game winner. But it was the Kings all over the Canadiens in this one. They outshot the Canadiens 39-23. In the first period, shots were 16-1 alone. Jakub Dobis was sensational oddly did not get a star in this, but was clearly the first star. Shot 16-1 in that first period and just one goal given up to Anze Kopitar. This was the Canadiens' big deal to win in LA for their first win since 2019. And again, all due to Jakub Dobis. And the Canadiens needed this win and they got it courtesy of the rookie goaltender.
That's right. Tuesday, they came home hosting the Toronto Maple Leafs on Tuesday night. Montreal, I actually expected this to be a bigger win margin than it was, but they did come out on top in this one, 3-1 over the Leafs.
And again, it was Jakub Dobis allowing just one goal, 944 save percentage in this one. It was his 21st win of the season. That's tops. That's the most by any NHL rookie goaltender. Speaking of rookies, Oliver Kapanen, his 20th goal of the season. He's the rookie that's having a great season that nobody's talking about. Oliver Kapanen tied for first amongst rookies for goals in the National Hockey League.
Finally, then, it was a back-to-back situation. Wednesday night, the Montreal Canadiens then turned around and headed out on a short road trip, just heading up the highway to Ottawa to take on the Senators, coming out on top. Once again, all three games this week were victories for Montreal, winning this one 3-2.
Again, you can credit the rookies. It was Ivan Demidov. He had a goal and an assist, including the game winner. A really nice setup in the first period. Power play goal by Yaroslavkovsky, set up by Demidov. And then he got his own, got a goal in the third period. But all the talk in this game was about Jacob Fowler. He was the first star of the game, 32 saves. Being called up, difficult circumstances, but looked very good. Mm-hmm. He looked calm, and the Canadians, as they do, falter near the end of the game, and it was Fowler who shut the door and preserved the win.
Thank goodness for that. So when it comes to naming your three stars for the week, can't say that I am surprised to see a goaltender topping out the list as your first star.
The Canadians needed, with the difficulty of Sam Montembeau, the Canadians needed solid goaltending, and they got it from Jakub Dobish. Two starts, two wins, 53 saves. 2.0 goals against, .930 save percentage, one of the top three goaltenders of the week, I believe, in the NHL. He delivered exactly what the Canadians needed. He is my first star of the week.
Was also a highlight reel week and a notable week for your second star of the week, Yaroslavkovsky.
In three games, three goals, 4 points. Of note, that for the franchise, for the Montreal Canadiens franchise, Yaroslavkovsky has registered the most career points by a Canadiens player before age 22. And if you look on that list, the names on that list that he passed, quite remarkable. So Slavkovsky gets a second star.
And let's keep it going with the rookie train on your three stars of the week. How about Ivan Demidov for your third star of the week?
3 points based on a goal and two assists. I mentioned the game winner. He gets the third star.
An obvious honorable mention for you this week would be
Jacob Fowler. He played just one game, but it was an important game. It was an important start for him, and he was just stellar in it. I'm going to also add Lane Hutson and Jake Evans. Hutson, 3 points, a plus five. Jake Evans, he was on the top three on the three-star list last week. He makes the honor roll this week with 3 points in three games, a plus two, and again over 60% in at the faceoff dot.
Love it. So through 64 games played, the Canadians are up to 82 points. They are in third place in the Atlantic Division, seventh place overall in the NHL. They are in a playoff spot right now, and they have rocketed up the odds of making the playoffs now from Money Puck. They're up to almost 94% chance of making the playoffs.
And that's up from 80% just the week before. Still, they have a tough schedule ahead. Mm-hmm. 18 games remaining, the 10th toughest schedule in the National Hockey League.
And don't forget Detroit, Boston. There's people around that are going to be playing for their lives as well. So this could go all the way down to the wire. We'll see. In terms of roster news, as we just spoke about on Wednesday, the Canadians, of course, recalled goaltender Jacob Fowler from the Laval Rocket. This was, his second recall of the season.
It was. He was called up in December. He made his NHL debut on December 11th. And over 10 games, he racked up a record of 4-4-2, 902 save percentage, 262 goals against. Really good start. And then it was about getting him back to Laval so that his confidence wasn't disturbed. Mm-hmm. And then that was obviously the right decision because he looks great now that he's back.
Definitely. The NCAA season for some schools who are not going on to the playoffs is starting to wind down, and that is the case for one of the Habs prospects. And as such, the Canadiens this week signed left-shot defenseman Luke Mittelstadt to a two-year entry-level contract that is for 2026-27 through 27-28. However, he's going to join the organization this year by a one-year, one-way AHL contract with Laval, and I believe he's going to hook up with them next week at home.
That's right. Mittelstadt played at the University of Minnesota his fourth season. They didn't have the season they hoped for this year. Mittelstadt was their captain. Known as a leader, known as a solid solid contributor and solid defenseman, stay-at-home defenseman. A favorite of Rob Ramage. We've heard Rob talk about Mittelstadt rather glowingly in the past. And he was an overager when selected in 2023, a seventh-round pick by the Canadiens. He's now 23 years old, 5'11", 185 pounds. And with Laval missing a couple of defensemen, this is going to be big help for Pascal Vincent.
He is also going to get some other help because if you were listening to last week's episode of the show, I reminded you that although the NHL trade deadline had passed, the AHL trade deadline works on a different schedule. The AHL trade deadline was 3 p.m. Eastern this past Friday, which we're recording on a Saturday. That would be yesterday. And Kent Hughes did make a move or two in the final hour or so before the trade deadline. First up, everything that he did was with the Ottawa Senators. He shipped out forward Riley Kidney and in return acquired goaltender Hunter Shepard and forward Jake Chiasson from the Ottawa Senators.
Yeah, Chiasson will go to Trois-Rivières and a young guy, 22 years old. He spent time in the ECHL with Orlando and the Allen Americans. So he'll fit right in Trois-Rivières. The prize here and giving up, Riley Kidney, who was a highly touted prospect, was a goal scorer with Acadie Bathurst, 100 points in his third season, I believe. But hasn't really made the transition well to pro. He'll help Belleville. And the prize here is to get a goaltender, that being Hunter Shepard. Hunter Shepard, 30 years old, but he is a winner.
Yes.
Was part of the Washington Capitals organization. He won two Calder Cups with the Hershey Bears. He was also a member of UMD, University of Minnesota Duluth. And won a couple of NCAA championships. This really solidifies the goaltending position in Laval. Why is that? Here's a hint. Jacob Fowler's not going back there anytime soon. So this was a good move to help Laval for the rest of the regular season and into the playoffs.
Kent Hughes also sent Ryan O'Rourke to Ottawa in exchange for future considerations. So probably maybe doing a bit of a favor for O'Rourke, not getting a ton of playing time, maybe a better opportunity there. Or helping Ottawa if they needed his services as well.
The future considerations is interesting. Puck, did you see the tweet by Puckpedia, who said, "We are no longer using the term future considerations. We are saying it like it is for free.
For nothing." Okay, moving on to the next bit of roster news. Cole Caulfield did practice on Friday, and he is slated to play on Saturday night for the Canadiens versus the Sharks.
In that game versus the Toronto Maple Leafs, he left due to an illness, didn't play against Ottawa, and will be back in the lineup, practiced on Friday and in the lineup on Saturday versus the Sharks. And that top line will welcome him back.
Someone who will not be in the lineup against the Sharks. Saturday morning, Marty St. Louis announcing that Brendan Gallagher will be a healthy scratch on Saturday night.
Yeah, this is, as we said, the Canadians, last week we said the Canadians have a logjam of forwards and a difficult decision. Alex Texier came in when Cole Caulfield was out, played quite well, and they would like to keep him in the lineup, and that means someone else has to sit, and in this case, it's Brendan Gallagher. No one argues that he is the heart and soul of the Canadiens, missing a step, and so he'll be a healthy scratch. And this goes back to the beginning of his career in the NHL with the Montreal Canadiens. He was a healthy scratch in 2013 for his very first game. Mm-hmm. And then, yes, of course, he's missed time because of injuries, but he hasn't been a healthy scratch since. So a difficult decision. They're talking about more of a meritocracy. Like to see that also apply to Zach Bolduc, but we'll see. Yeah. We'll see how things go. It's already been announced that Gallagher will be back in the lineup. The Canadians have the back-to-back Saturday and Sunday, that he'll be back in the lineup on Sunday. We'll see who sits then.
Marty St. Louis was asked how Gallagher took the news today. And he said, quote, "I'm pretty sure he took it better than me. It's not easy considering all he's represented to the Canadians over the years, but it's where we're at in the schedule with our depth. We'll move forward, continue to evaluate, and Galley is a pro." So I expect we'll see maybe a feisty Brendan Gallagher tomorrow.
And that's exactly what his buddy Jake Evans said, that you're going to see a very gritty, feisty,
motivated.
Yeah. Brendan Gallagher on Sunday.
And we can confirm that it will be Jakub Dobysz getting the start in net against the Sharks on Saturday.
And we're going to assume
that means
that Jacob Fowler will be starting on Sunday night.
So with all that being said, the lines. Slavkovsky is back up on that top line with Caulfield and Suzuki these days.
It's going to be interesting to see. Now, the way they skated in practice, we expect that Texier will just take Gallagher's place on that fourth line with Deneau and Anderson. But Texier in the lineup gives Marty St. Louis some options. And you could very well see Texier up with Suzuki and Caulfield, slot Slavkovsky back on that second line. Personally, I'd love to see Slavkovsky back with Kapanen and Dmitrov. Mm-hmm. And then you've got Alex Newhook to place on the third or fourth line. There's a whole lot of options there. So we'll see what Marty has up his sleeve for both Saturday and Sunday.
Definitely. All right. This is a good time to check in with the youngins. So let's take a dive into the Habs prospect report.
It's time for the Rocket Report. The Rocket Sports Media team is your premier source for information about the Laval Rocket, the AHL affiliate of the Montreal Canadiens, as well as Habs prospects playing in the CHL, NCAA, and leagues around the world.
You know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. So if we're going to highlight a Canadiens prospect of the week, why would it be anyone other than medicine hat Tigers defenseman Bryce Pickford.
Yeah, and we're just going to take a quick stop in here because he keeps scoring. He got his 44th goal of the season on Friday. They were playing Lethbridge Hurricanes. He also added an assist. They have, I believe Medicine Hat has 3 games remain. So, you know, who knows?
Who knows? We'll do who knows? The last 3 games of the season.
Let's assume he's going to at least get to the 45-goal plateau, which would be remarkable. In 53 games, he has 44 goals, 37 assists, 81 points, and a plus 51.
He's a defenseman. 44 goals, 37 assists. All right, we're going to highlight another prospect as well. ECAC Hockey announced that Cornell's Alexi Cornoyer is the recipient of the Ken Dryden Goalie of the Year Award for this season.
Boy, that's a nice plaque to put on your wall. The Ken Dryden Award.
Well, with with a last name like Cornoyer.
Well, true.
You know?
And of course, Ken Dryden played for Cornell. Quite fitting ECAC is giving it to Cornoyer. This is his rookie year. Great rookie year. Record as 15-6-1 and a .919 save percentage. And a .201 goals against. That .919 save percentage led the ECAC this year.
Well, and he also got first team all ECAC hockey honors.
And back in February, we read a long list to you of all the goaltenders in the NCAA that were up for the Mike Richter Award, named by the Hockey Commissioners Association. And Cornway was one of those semifinalists. So there still might be additional awards on his plate.
And let's just make it a nice trio of prospects to highlight this week, because you cannot ignore when there's a goalie fight.
You can't ignore goalie fights.
And when it involves a Habs prospect, well, then we have to talk about it.
This one in the queue, a goalie fight. Arseny Radkov from the St. John's Sea Dogs, that's the Canadiens prospect, versus Owen Brayson from the Halifax Mooseheads. And yes, they met at Center Ice. And
who won?
We'll call it a draw.
We'll call it a draw. Okay. For Laval, they played last Saturday, winning 4-3 over Rochester in a shootout. That was with Kaapo Kähkönen in net. Laurent Dauphin getting the game-deciding goal in that one, in the shootout. They did not play all week this week, so they had a couple of days without Jacob Fowler to kind of get their footing again. And so Kähkönen back in net on Friday night, while Laval was on the road visiting Utica. But this time, things did not go Laval's way. Utica put a stomping on them after the two teams were tied for a little while, but then Utica opened things up late in the game, winning it 5-2. So not a fun loss on the road. Utica is not an easy building to play in, that's for sure.
And we talked about Syracuse last week, kind of closing the gap, although they've lost their last two games. Fortunate for Laval because they are 3 points back of the Rocket with 2 games in hand.
And they play them today. Laval plays Syracuse in Syracuse, another tough matchup at 5 o'clock this afternoon. Then they go home back to Place Belle again for a Wednesday meeting with the Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins, and on Friday, a meeting with the Springfield Thunderbirds. So they still are sitting first in the North and 5th overall in the AHL, so they seem to be sitting comfortably, but got to watch those other teams, particularly those divisional opponents. And the Lions, the Trois Rivières Lions, currently sitting 6th overall in the North, 18th overall in the ECHL. They've had some ups and downs this past week, but they're hanging in there. They're still trying to do their thing, and hopefully they can end the season on a high note. All right, let's just now bring you some hockey notes from around the NHL, some highlights to talk about before we take our first break here. Big unfortunate news for Toronto. And no, it's not just how poorly they've been playing. Captain Austin Matthews out for the rest of the regular season because of a massive injury to his left leg, a grade 3 MCL tear and a quad contusion. All of that coming courtesy of Radko Gudas from Thursday night's game against Anaheim.
Radko Gudas, known for soft shots from the point, Sam Montembeau, and big illegal hits. This was a knee-on-knee collision. Gudas suspended. He learned of his suspension on Friday. Suspended 5 games by the Department of Player Safety.
And there are plenty of people who kind of took umbrage with just him getting a phone hearing in five games as well. On Thursday, the Carolina Hurricane, I just about jumped out of my chair when I saw this. This is just spectacular news. On Thursday, the Carolina Hurricanes announced 3 new investors had joined the ownership group. Names you might not be familiar with. I wasn't familiar with them. Brett Jefferson, Mark Grandison. Until I saw the big beaming smile of a former headshot of Bobby Farnham joining the ownership group.
This is just incredible news.
This is, I could not be happier for a former player.
Bobby Farnham, had a brief stop with the Montreal Canadiens and the St. John's Ice Caps when the Ice Caps were the AHL affiliate for the Montreal Canadiens. That was the 2016-2017 season. Always one of our favorite players to interview, to see at games. He always had time for us. He always came over in practice, always had that big smile, personable. And then on the ice, he could score you a goal or he could drop the gloves and stand up for usually a younger teammate.
Yes.
He just a heart and soul team guy. Mm-hmm. That was Bobby Farnham. He's 37 years old now. He graduated from Brown University in 2012, went the NCAA route, graduated with a degree in commerce, organizations, and entrepreneurship. And then once he finished his retired from his pro playing career, he went to Harvard Business School. Bobby Farnham did.
Yeah.
And he co-founded a company called Fourth Line Capital, which is a private investment firm. As the press release says, he lives in Boston with his wife, Brittany, and their son, Bo. But he was so successful with Fourth Line Capital that he has been able to join the ownership group. Now, what kind of money are we talking here? Well, We talked about this, that Tom Dundon had agreed to sell a 12.5% share in the Carolina Hurricanes. The Hurricanes are valued at $2.66 billion.
Yeah.
So a 12.5% share is $332 million. And so that $332 million, and we don't know how it's broken up.
I don't know if it's an equal three-way split.
An equal three-way split.
Yeah, or what.
But
still.
Let's just say it is. That means each of those three gentlemen are in for $110 million to be in the ownership group.
Go Bobby Farnham.
Go Bobby Farnham, exactly.
If you've got that kind of money to invest after living the American dream and forming your own private investment platform, co-founding it with someone else. And I love that he's got, I'd love to know his genesis for the name of the company, Fourth Line Capital.
Yes.
But you have to think that that's a nod to his playing days. When he played in the NHL, he was in a fourth line guy.
He played 67 games in the NHL. He got 10 points. 138 penalty minutes. So that tells you a little bit about the kind of player he was in the AHL, 404 games played, 105 points, 1,044 penalty minutes. Yeah. Fourth line capital. Yeah, that's Bobby Farnham all over.
Fourth line capital, propelling him now back into the world of hockey by being a member of the ownership group of an NHL team. Like, that's just a pure success story. Couldn't have happened to a nicer guy. So absolutely stoked for Bobby Farnham.
Absolutely.
All right. Other people weren't maybe so stoked after trade deadline day came and went. A brand new YouTube channel popping up with none other than Jordan Lina, Patrick Lina's wife.
And the topic that she chose for, and she has other social media, but she's launched a YouTube channel. And the topic that she chose for her first vlog was trade deadline day and the experience she and Patrick were going to have being traded from the Montreal Canadiens.
Mm-hmm.
And then it didn't happen.
Well.
So the entire video is about her day watching the clock. She had a timer on her watch, watching the time wind down, having to get out. Remember, the Canadians were on a road trip in California. So she was home in Montreal and having to get out of the condo and go for a walk and grab a coffee, go to the church, the cathedral. It's painful. You can see the how difficult it was for her on this day. And, you know, she goes through and adds that they love being in Montreal. They knew that this is part of the business. They knew that this was a possibility. And the fact that she was following rumors and she saw Corey Perry being traded, so thought maybe that meant that they would be going to LA because there was a room there. I mean, it's worth a watch. And gives a really different perspective on the NHL trade deadline.
Speaking of the deadline, if you listened to last week's show, hey, if you missed it, just head over to our archive at CanadiansConnection.fm. You can check it out because we broke down the trade deadline that never was, basically, for Montreal last week. But you remember everyone was hanging around after 3 o'clock came and went last week because there were these rumblings that there was some big deal that Montreal had gotten in under the clock. Well, Nick Kyprios came out this week saying, quote, "There is a sense that the deal Kent Hughes was working on was with the Leafs." And I'm just spitballing here, but I can tell you Matthew Knies's name was out there with multiple teams.
So, yeah, take it for what it's worth. And listen, a player like Matthew Knies, ideal for the Montreal Canadiens. Mm-hmm. Absolutely ideal. A 23-year-old power forward. Perfect for the Montreal Canadiens, and I was banging the drum for the Canadiens to draft him during his draft here. I don't see how this makes any sense in the world I don't want to give any ideas to the Toronto Maple Leafs, but this doesn't make any sense for them. And you know, consider that Kyprios used the word spitballing. Mm-hmm. Elliot Friedman says that he's heard that same theory. He checked into it, and the people he talked to denied that rumor. He added, but obviously there was some smoke. So whether it was the Canadians or someone else that was involved, or you know who it was. That the Canadians were pursuing, we may find out, we may not find out, but that's what we know based on some wild rumors this week.
All right. Well, with all that being said, we are going to take our first break here on the Canadians Connection podcast. We've got a message for you from our sponsors over at DraftKings. Great incentive for our Canadians Connection listeners, a special code for you. So you want to take advantage of that if you are not already on the DraftKings platform. And when we come back, we are digging into Dobesh, Fowler, and the Canadiens' new reality in net. You got to stick around for it. You are listening to the Canadians Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio.
DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, is built for the fastest game on ice. With player props and live betting, every shift, every shot, every save gives you options to get in on the game with DraftKings Sportsbook. And hey, new customers, if you bet just $5 and if your bet wins, you'll get $300 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code THPN. That's code THPN to turn $5 into $300 in bonus bets if your bet wins. In partnership with DraftKings, the crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. Connecticut, call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino in Kansas, wager tax pass-through may apply in Illinois. 21 plus in most states. Void in Ontario. Restrictions apply. Bet must win to receive bonus bets which expire in 7 days. Minimum odds required. For additional terms and responsible gaming resources, see dkng.co/audio. Limited time offer. Copyright 2026. NHL. All rights reserved. And welcome back to the Canadians Connection podcast right here on Rocket Sports Radio. Once again, my name is Amy Johnson. I am here in the studio with my co-host, who was our president and founder here at Rocket Sports. His name is Rick Stevens. We certainly invite you to follow either one of us on X. You can find my handle at Flyers Rule. You can find Rick's at Rocket Sports. Or you could also just follow this podcast. You can find the Canadians Connection podcast on X, Facebook, and Instagram. The handle there is at Habs Connection. Also, if you haven't done so already, don't forget to tap that subscribe button. If you love listening to talk about the Montreal Canadiens 52 weeks a year, every single week, and you haven't done so already, just tap that subscribe button and you will never miss an episode. So the Canadiens goaltending picture really took another interesting turn this week. Quite honestly, it's setting up what should be a really telling back-to-back series at the Bell Centre this weekend. You've got Jakub Dobiš, who's coming off, frankly, a brilliant stretch of play. He's expected to get the start on Saturday night against the San Jose Sharks. Then on Sunday, as we mentioned in the last segment, all signs point to probably Jacob Fowler getting his start in the crease against the Anaheim Ducks. Now, Fowler's presence at this point in time and at this crossroads for the Canadiens isn't an accident. As we said, this is his second recall of the season from Laval. He had in a remarkable run in the AHL. He's won 10 of his last 11 starts down there. Then he arrives in Montreal, immediately makes an impression. I mean, it's not just Montreal and it's not just Montreal media talking about it. It's the national media are talking about what a stellar performance he had. He was the first star on Wednesday night in Ottawa. Yeah, it was a performance that just had everybody talking about Jacob Fowler. So suddenly, after a lot of grumbling and groaning and inconsistencies and so forth throughout the season, the Canadiens now find themselves in a really different place in goal than they were a few months ago. Dobiš is playing with confidence. He's looking calm. He's looking composed, even in the big moments. We saw that from him this week. Fowler's got momentum on his side, the momentum of his streak that he had going in Laval. He's showing the kind of poise that suggests, hey, I belong at this level here in the NHL. So when you look at the way both of these young goalies are trending, it's really starting to get easier to imagine this being the tandem that gives Montreal the best chance to win, not just for the regular season, for the remaining games, but into the playoffs
looking ahead to next year. So that also brings us to the other side of the conversation. If Dobish and Fowler are the direction the team is going, that leaves a very big question mark on Sam Montembeault and where he fits into the picture. Honestly, if he fits at all into the picture. At this point, Rick, it's really not unreasonable to wonder whether Montembeault maybe has already played his last game in Montreal.
Well, that's absolutely right. So I think in this segment, let's look back and discuss how the Canadians got to this position. The goaltending hierarchy throughout the organization shifted and may have shifted dramatically depending on your perspective. And what does this tell us about the way the organization and maybe how the organization, individual members of the organization view this, view the goaltending position differently and how they view it going forward. So let's spend a little bit of time on this.
Definitely. And okay, let's start with the elephant in the room, and that is Sam Montembeault. With all due respect to Sam Montembeault, I think the final nail in the coffin came in that Anaheim game a couple of Fridays ago, where we talked about just an awful goal on that floater from the blue line by Jacob Trouba less than 30 seconds into the game.
Yeah, and you would think that Montembeault would want to take advantage of that embarrassingly bad goal. He got a reprieve, and he was very, very fortunate because it's that silly offside review, and the play was very close. The goal was waved off. But just 19 seconds later, he gave up another goal, and that was the second first shot goal of the game and of the first minute of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And let's be honest, Montembeault gave up four bad goals in this game. Four bad goals. Three made it to the scoreboard. He was fortunate that Jacob Trouba goal didn't count. But there was other blue line softies, especially another floater. This one from Radko Gudas, and the game ended up in a 6-5 loss. And at that point, it was clear to everybody, except maybe one person in the organization, that Montembeault had become unplayable.
Again.
Yeah, it was his fifth loss in his last seven starts. And management had to step in. And let's remind you that it was Montembeault's play in November and then in early December where he lost 6 of 7 starts. He was unplayable. You couldn't put him in the net. And it was at that time in December that management stepped in. Montembeault was sent to Laval for a conditioning stint. And that led to the first ever recall of Jacob Fowler. And management had to step in again and made the move to get rid of Eric Raymond. And this isn't a couple of bad starts. This isn't, a streak of any kind. Montembeault is having a bad season, and he's having an historically bad season. We talked about it last week, and it started right from training camp where he came in and did not look prepared at all. Yet it was his goaltending coach, Eric Raymond. They were joined at the hip. They were best friends. Raymond was maybe Montembeault's second biggest advocate, but it was Marty St. Louis who was the biggest advocate for Montembeault. And Marty St. Louis bent all the norms, bent over backwards for Montembeault, not only giving him starts, but giving him preferential treatment. And the funny part was that Marty never failed to tell us how little he knows about the goaltending position. So Marty wasn't making logical decisions. He was not making hockey decisions. He wasn't making proper coaching decisions. And I guess what was most terrifying about it was that in catering to Montembeau, Marty St. Louis was not prioritizing the needs of the Montreal Canadiens. He was sacrificing points, and that is clear. We had a talk about this in our Slack group, trying to figure out how many points that Marty and Montembeau have given up and where the Canadiens could be.
They had ended the Montembeau experiment way sooner.
Exactly. He was just sacrificing the points by firmly and stubbornly starting Montembeau to the detriment of the Canadiens. His decisions were purely emotional, and following the disaster, the final coffin, as you said, management stepped in and insisted on recalling Fowler. Do we know that for sure? I'm reading between the lines, but not very much. You saw how Marty reacted. You saw how he told the story of the recall. It was very personal to him. You know, he was hardly challenged when asked about the Fowler recall, and he said, "I'm not going to answer 40 questions." He snapped at reporters and refused to talk about the reasons for recalling Fowler. And then after the Fowler win, after Fowler was outstanding, Marty admitted how emotional this was, saying, "Monty is a guy I love and adored. That's why it made this so hard." And this is, it reminds me of that minor league hockey coach and dad, the dad of the goaltender, who keeps putting his son in the net, even though he loses every game. And the fans can see it. The parents can see it. The entire team can see it. But Marty reacted personally. There's one thing that we can say about Montreal Canadiens goaltending this season. It's been remarkably stable. It's been remarkably consistent since early December. Jakub Dobish wins, Sam Montembeau loses.
Yes.
It's been, people talk about a topsy-turvy.
No.
It hasn't been. It's been remarkably consistent.
The only time, Jakub Dobish had a to-be-expected stumble for a young goaltender. Early in the season, he was in a big pressure situation. It didn't go the way that he wanted it to go. This was like the sixth or seventh game of the season. Because he's young, he got very emotional about it. We talked at the time about how it was a mistake for the Canadiens to put him in front of the media after that game because of how personally he took that loss, how disappointed in himself he was. And the fallout from that put him off kilter and shook his confidence.
The fact that the coach didn't protect him, who should have, the fact that the Montreal media ridiculed him for shedding a tear and showing emotion and being so invested, we should all be disappointed in both the head coach and the media for a way that Dobish was thrown to the wolves at that point in the season.
That's right. And so because, there was then the media pressure, the fan pressure, he wasn't feeling as confident. He struggled a little bit in his next couple of starts when he could get a start, because that's when Marty started favoring Montembeau even more and was tossing Montembeau, even though Montembeau was not playing well. He wasn't giving Dobish an opportunity to put that game behind him. That is the only time this season that Dobish has struggled. But for some reason, it's been ingrained in fans' heads that Dobish has been inconsistent and unreliable this season, for the entire season, when that's not the case. It was for a very specific reason, and it was for a very specific period of time early in the season. And once he was given the ability to get his confidence back, particularly once Montembeau got sent down to Laval, Jakub Dobish has been reliable.
And it was Jakub Dobish and Jacob Fowler who carried the Montreal Canadiens during the month of December.
Yeah. So we'll come back to Jakub Dobish in a minute. I just wanted to, you know, the fact that you said that goaltending has been very consistent this year with both of these goaltenders, Dobish and Montembeau, I wanted to remind people that still like to, you know, bang the drum of, well, I don't know if Dobish hasn't been. Dobish has been good.
Well, and I think part of this is the Montreal media. It's hard for them to tell the truth about how bad Sam Montembeau has been. Yeah. So that if you can just heap everybody into the same barrel saying Canadiens goaltending has been bad,
right,
then it doesn't expose Montembeau for the horrible season that he's had.
And Jakub Dobish needs to be given credit for nights that he's in net, that the Canadiens come up with a loss, because the sieve of a defense in front of him, and granted, there have been times that Montembeau's been in net, the defense has looked equally awful, but the weak defense also has to be taken into consideration with some of that. But that's a conversation for an entirely different
episode. Well, yeah, that's overarching, that the Montreal Canadiens must do a better job of limiting high danger chances. They must do a better job of the penalty kill. They must do a better job when they're on the downside of the 6-on-5, trying to protect a lead. All of those things are absolutely certain. And that's why we were hoping that Kent Hughes would be able to secure some help on the right hand for a right shot defenseman, and how we're looking forward to the summer when he might deliver that help, and maybe also deliver an upgrade on the defensive coach. And we've talked about that a lot. So all of those, let's put those
yes
on the table while we continue to talk about goaltending.
So let's turn our attention now to Jacob Fowler. Fowler got the news on Monday that he was getting recalled, arrived in Ottawa ahead of the Canadiens, and boy, did that kid look completely unfazed in the crease.
He was calm. He was solid throughout the game. Right off the hop, he made an excellent decision, save. And, you know, he just looked dialed in and focused in a very important game for both teams. Then it was the final couple of minutes where Jacob Fowler was absolutely stellar. Again, the Senators trying to come back up 6-on-5. And that's been such an Achilles heel for Montreal. And you can't say that it was the defenders who did the job. It was some sensational saves by Fowler in those last couple of minutes that preserved the win.
He kind of, I like how you wrote this in our agenda. He served notice. We like that he served notice. I'm here to stay.
Yeah. No, he did. He said so. He did so by his play, and reminded folks that, you know, this in his mind wasn't just coming up for a one game shot, that he wants to be with the Montreal Canadiens as much as possible and as soon as possible, I think were his words.
Well, and he saw an opportunity and he grabbed it.
He did. Yeah, and it's not to say that, you know, he has ill feelings towards anyone. It's just there was an opportunity and he wanted to take it. We mentioned that his first recall came in December, and that was at a desperate time for Canadiens goaltending. We talked about it. You know, he played well, 4-4-2 record, 902 save percentage, 262 goals against, got a shutout. But it was time. We were concerned that he had a good showing. His first recall came before anyone was expecting it. And it was a good showing, and it was time for him to get back to Laval and continue his solid AHL season. And he did just that. He had to go back to Laval to preserve his confidence. And listen, we have to. I know there's a lot of people buying the jerseys already, but Jacob Fowler is young. Jacob Fowler's a rookie. Jacob Fowler doesn't have a lot of experience, and Jacob Fowler has his faults as a goaltender. That was one of the reasons that he didn't go as high in the draft. His size is not prototypical for the modern goaltender. A little bit on the small side, a little bit on the short side. His conditioning was at question. He's made big strides there, mm-hmm. With respect to his conditioning and his nutrition. And so he has some work to do. But he wants to do that as a member of the Montreal Canadiens.
So I do want to switch gears back to Jakub Dobiš, because the little tangent that I went on earlier was to just pinpoint one particular area, because, you know, just because, you know, the fans and the media have, as you kind of alluded to just there, this, you know, shiny new bauble to obsess over in Jacob Fowler, we can't lose sight of the fact that Jakub Dobiš has done an incredible job this season under very difficult circumstances, some of which I just outlined a few moments ago.
Mentioned it earlier. He has 21 wins as we record this. That's tops amongst all rookie goaltenders. He's earned points in 13 of his last 14 starts, dating back to December. As I said, remarkably consistent. And let's not forget that he started the season with 5 straight wins. He's been, you know, all of the nonsense about, well, Marty didn't name a number one goaltender. Dobiš has clearly been the Canadiens' number one goaltender this mm-hmm. season. And he's a big reason that Montreal finds itself with a 94% chance of making the playoffs.
Now, maybe his style is a little unorthodox. He definitely, I love his personality, not only off the ice, but on the ice. He does not, he suffers no fools in his crease, does Jakub Dobiš. He will stand up for himself. He's not afraid to do that. He's athletic. Unlike Jacob Fowler, he does have the size advantage, and he's very, very competitive.
Amazingly competitive. And listen, we've heard it from the fan base. They've already declared a winner in this goaltender battle. But let's not write off Jakub Dobiš just yet. I think it's an open question. Both are very good rookie goaltenders. Both have potential, both have faults. And there's a long road yet to before a winner is declared. I would say for the rest of the season you have to lean on Jakub Dobiš, just because he's proven he's got the track record this season of being the goaltender that the Canadiens have relied on, being the goaltender who has delivered points consistently. So you might find a 2/3, 1/3 split going on. But I think it's clear. I think it's pretty clear that Dobiš and Fowler are going to be going forward for the rest of this season, the tandem for the Montreal Canadiens.
And that means with the fact that Kent Hughes acquired a goaltender in Hunter Shepherd this week at the AHL level for Laval, likely going to see a Kaapo Kähkönen Hunter Shepherd tandem in Laval. So that leaves Sam Montembeau on the outside looking in, watching from the suite.
And that's got to be okay. Yep. That's got to be okay. And Marty's got to get used to that. And all of that got to be okay, because points matter, wins matter, performance matters. And Sam hasn't delivered any of that this season. The difficulty is that Sam Ontembeau is still under contract for one more year. And that's an issue for the general manager to deal with in the offseason, because you don't want a three-goalie tandem. And there's no way you can send either Fowler or Dobish back to Laval for next year. Yes, they're young, but it's not unprecedented to have two young goaltenders who are delivering, both are delivering, as your tandem for next fall. They need to clear up the Sam Montembeau problem by the start of training camp.
They do. So we have a question for all of you. It's time for our Canadians Connection question of the week. We want to know, are you confident in a Dobesh-Fowler goaltending tandem for the rest of the season for the Montreal Canadiens?
Maybe we should have said Jacob Jakob tandem.
Yeah, a Jakob-Jacob goaltending.
Yeah.
Yeah, Dobesh, are you confident in a Dobesh-Fowler goaltending tandem for the rest of the season for the Montreal Canadiens? You want to drop us your answers on and tell us why. Don't just say yes or no. Tell us why you feel the way that you do. Send us a text on the Rocket Sports text line. That's 5853-ROCKET, 5853-ROCKET. If you're listening on Spotify, you can leave a comment on this episode on Spotify. We will see your answer there. If you are watching on YouTube, you can leave a comment on this video for YouTube. We will find your response there. And of course, you can hit us up on social media. Remember, the handle is at Habs Connection. Send us a reply or a DM on X, on Facebook, or on Instagram at Habs Connection. We'll take all the best responses that we get, and we will read them out on next week's show. Right now, however, we are going to take our last break here on the Canadians Connection podcast. We're going to hear from our sponsors at DraftKings one more time. And when we come back, we've got some terrific responses that came into last week's Canadians Connection question of the week that we're going to share with you in just a moment. So stick around. You're listening to the Canadians Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio.
DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, is built for the fastest game on ice. With player props and live betting, every shift, every shot, every save gives you options to get in on the game with DraftKings Sportsbook. And hey, new customers, if you bet just $5 and if your bet wins, you'll get $300 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code THPN. That's code THPN to turn $5 into $300 in bonus bets if your bet wins. In partnership with DraftKings, the crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. Connecticut, call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino in Kansas, wager tax pass-through may apply in Illinois. 21 plus in most states. Void in Ontario. Restrictions apply. Bet must win to receive bonus bets which expire in 7 days. Minimum odds required. For additional terms and responsible gaming resources, see dkng.co/audio. Limited time offer. Copyright 2026. NHL. All rights reserved.
And welcome back to episode 391 of Canadians Connection podcast right here on Rocket Sports Radio. Don't forget, if you haven't done so already, tap that subscribe button. We don't ever want you to miss an episode. If you do have an opportunity to leave a like or five stars or anything like that, a review of any kind on whatever platform that you're listening to the podcast on, we would really appreciate that. Even if you're watching on YouTube, just smash that like button. And if you would be so inclined, however you're listening or watching, just tap that share button. pick your favorite social media platform and share this episode. It goes a great way to helping us spread the word about the Canadians Connection podcast, and we appreciate that. Don't forget, we will be waiting anxiously to read all of your replies to this week's question of the week. Are you confident in a Dobesh-Fowler goaltending tandem for the rest of the season for the Montreal Canadiens? Curious to see if you say yes or no, and show your work. Explain why you feel the way that you do. Now, last week on episode 390, we asked, after this NHL trade deadline, are you more or less confident that the Montreal Canadiens will make the playoffs and win a round? And we had some interesting replies.
For sure. This one comes from YouTube, our YouTube channel. And it's from at PMoranFidelt. He says, great show. To answer the question, my confidence hasn't changed one way or the other about the Habs making the playoffs. I still believe they'll make it because they didn't make any changes on defense. If they continue to give Monty more starts on goal, we will not make it past the first round. So he was already, his mindset was already about goaltending.
Definitely. We also had a great response from our friend Leonid, who also says, great show, thanks. Regarding the question of the week, given what others have done, meaning the teams around Montreal in the standings, given what others have done, he says, I'm a little less sure. But then again, was it worth doing anything just to do anything? Team management is often criticized for making many decisions based on so-called public opinion. Perhaps there wasn't a good enough offer on the table, and the time to make risky bets hadn't yet come. What kind of success can we expect in the postseason with this goaltending unit? And there are plenty of other problems with the roster. In crucial games, you have to play a physical game, and what worked in the regular season won't work. Right now, there's simply no one to play physical hockey, and signing just one player won't fix that. It's very insightful.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, very good. Always great comments from our friend Leonid. And we had another reply from at Habinations, who says, oh, hi. No, the window isn't open yet, so there's no point in trying to force something that rarely happens. If Laine can play, he should provide the bump they need for free. In my honest opinion, they could have used a Tyler Myers or Elias Pettersson. I wonder who they went after. Also, very interesting. And you know, he says, no, you know, the window, meaning the window to be a perennial contender, it's not open yet. It's not, they're not quite there yet. So
we all wonder who Kent Hughes was. Well, yeah. That trade that didn't go through. Who was it?
Who was it?
Will we find out?
I hope we do. Thank you to everyone who sent in replies to last week's Canadians Connection question of the week. Don't worry, if you didn't hear your response read out, it didn't mean that you had a bad response or that we didn't agree with it. We just choose some select ones, read them out. And so the best way to increase your odds of getting yours chosen, answer this week's Canadians Connection question of the week. We can't wait to hear what you have to say.
And are there any of our listeners out there who've been around for a while, who've been following the Canadians for a while, who see any parallels, like I do, between this situation with the goaltenders and back in 2008, before the trade deadline, when Bob Gainey traded Christobel Huet, fan favorite, media favorite, Christobel Huet to Washington in order to clear the way because Guy Carboneau would not play his young goaltenders. And so the Bob Gainey, the GM, said, okay, I'm going to take away your favorite toy and trade it to Christobel to make way for Carey Price and Yaroslav Halak. And then there was the goaltending a battle, mm-hmm. competitive battle that followed after that. Do you see any parallels with 2008?
Yeah. Add those to your response as well. We'd love to hear what you're thinking about all this. This week, it is a busy week for the Canadians. This week, tonight, Saturday night, they are in Montreal for a matchup against the San Jose Sharks. Back to back, they play Sunday night at the Bell Center. Anaheim will be in town. John Carlson expected to make his Ducks debut this weekend.
Sometime this weekend, either against the Senators or the Canadiens. But I think we'll see him for sure in Montreal. That's going to change that blue line.
That definitely will. Then on Tuesday, Montreal wraps up this homestand with a visit by the Boston Bruins. That's going to be an important game for the standings. As will Thursday night's game when Montreal goes on the road to play Detroit. So
busy week.
It's a busy week, and there's a lot on the line this week. These are important games and important points. We will be sure, you can guarantee, we will break it all down for you on our next episode of the podcast coming up next Saturday, March 21st. In the meantime, be sure you're subscribed. Enjoy all of the hockey. It's bound to get pretty exciting. Already there are games that feel like a playoff environment, and those are just going to continue to ramp up as we go. So enjoy the games this week. Be safe out there. Thank you so much for listening to the Canadians Connection podcast, and we'll see you back here again next week for another great episode of the Canadians Connection on Rocket Sports Radio.
Click subscribe so you never miss an episode of Canadians Connection. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram @RocketSports.